after being abused and used and manhandled and treated the way and violated the way I was, I think I would go back to dude.
This is Luscious Lou, and I listen to the Comic Syndicate. If you love comics, you'll be into it. Listen to the Comic Syndicate. If movies make you contemplate, just science will accommodate. Twitter for communication at Comic Syndicate 1. I was drowning in a sea of podcasts, then I found the one I need at long last. Book reviews, the news, and sex facts. It's more than anyone can ask for. The Comic Syndicate Podcast. Ooh, the Comic Syndicate Podcast. Ooh, the Comic Syndicate Podcast. Yeah, yeah. The Comic Syndicate Podcast.
Ooh. Welcome to the Comic Syndicate, episode 345. I'm your host, Josias, at ForTheVillain on Twitter, at Comic_Syndicate on Instagram. Welcome back to an all-new week. Thank you guys for the patience, but let's hit it like we normally do, what we spoke about 100 episodes ago. Episode 245, I entitled hashtag Third Shot Out. This was recorded Tuesday, January 29th, 2019. This week at For the Villain Hits, what we spoke about 100 episodes ago, nail some bullet points about 245's struggles, so that particular episode from 100 pods ago, crosses some football, third shot out. Okay, let's hit it real quick. Just off of the title alone, kind of sounds similar to the night I'm having right now, as far as not recording, but having issues with my computer. Like, I did an update recently and kind of threw everything wacky and into a loop for the most part. So, third shot out, I'm thinking I recorded once and realized, like, okay, this is terrible or it's not coming out or whatever, sound quality was bad. I'm pretty sure that's what it was. That's the luck I have recording these fun shows for you guys. I hit Crosses Some Football Talk, upcoming conventions, and episode 250 work, and the writing process. Then finally goes into Comic Talk, new Ghostbusters film, Bumblebee sequel, The Simpsons renewal, Breaking Bad, Ryan Reynolds' Deadpool 3, Marvel Black Widow, Young Avengers MCU rumors, Captain Marvel, Shazam, Aquaman, DC Extended Universe news, then finally rocks some comic reviews, books of the week, DC Comics, The Batman Who Laughs, number 1 through number 2. Scott Snyder was the writer, Jock is the artist, that's literally his name is Jock, that he goes by the artist, sick artist by the way. Scott Snyder is a killer writer. I love this dude. I've interviewed him several times, and every time I see him now at conventions, like, we know each other, so it's kind of cool. We bump into each other a lot, and we shoot the shit. So he remembers me, probably not by name, because he's always like, what's your name? You have that weird name again. So very cool. And he does the one of the bumpers in our break segment, in between segments, yes. I also reviewed Guardians of the Galaxy, number one. Donny Cates was the writer, Jeff Shaw was the artist. Please give a like, share, and subscribe to the podcast, and Podbean, blah, 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 everywhere you can find us. So I just recorded one episode that week. All right, guys, let's hit it like we do and hit some bullet points. What went down this weekend? Well, WonderCon 2024 did not go down for me this weekend. So, huge shout outs, not part of the usual suspects, but old friends of the show, that one of them has been on the show before, and one of them, they both used to listen, so both Lupe Orozco and Quo hit me up. Are you guys at WonderCon, or are you at WonderCon this weekend? WonderCon did not happen for me this weekend. So last episode I recorded was a Tuesday, I believe. Anyways, I never got back word from WonderCon stating, like, normally even they would send you a deny email, like, you know, we appreciate you trying to, but your credentials are not good. Or, you know, they'll put it to you softly, like, oh, we're sorry, we can't accept this. Got none of that at all. check my junk email, nothing. I'm good at having my email separated into different folders. It goes into a particular folder anytime I get these. Even if I'm busy, it's like, okay, let's start this. Let's put you in the proper folder. I can look at you later. In none of my folders, I never received the shoot-down letter. So I requested off Friday from both jobs. And even though WonderCon 2024 did not go down, and even though I missed it and was kind of bummed out, but not horribly bummed out because I got to sleep in number one. The game plan was, if I were to go to WonderCon to cover it, try to get you an interview, because that's number one thing. Of course, have a blast, but get interviews for you guys. The game plan, my mom lives down the street from the WonderCon, so I was going to park my car and then have her drop me off so I don't have to Uber it or even walk it, especially with the rainy weather we've had out here in Southern California lately. This crazy, crazy fucking weather. So anyways, I have a different story to tell you guys because of this. I got to sleep in, and I called up. I'm going to tell you guys the haircut story. So my normal guy, Sam, that I go to, the barber shop I go to, I usually make an appointment with him. And when I called in this time, which was, I believe, Wednesday, I called up and asked for Sam. Is Sam available for a haircut tomorrow or whatever day it was for Friday? And they told me, you know what, he's out in Japan for the next few weeks. He's on vacation. I'm like, okay. And I'm like, these guys are good. They're older gentlemen. And each one has cut my hair before. But Sam's my dude. And I like the way he cuts my hair. The other ones, I probably should have done it, especially after this story. So as I'm working my office job, I Google haircut places near me. And I don't venture out often. Like, I don't know where to find a haircut place unless I drive by it. And if it's close to me, it's like, okay, I gotta go there. But now I have my homies, or Sam, Asian dude, that normally cuts my hair. So now I'm stuck with this option. Like, okay, you have to go to a new place, Josias. So I Google again, haircut places near me. I come across a place, and it's a place I've never been before. And when I get there, I get directions. It's down the street from my apartment. I get there, and as soon as I walk in, was weird. It was a salon I walked into. Like, I looked at the directions, and it's like, okay, it's by the Dollar Tree. I'm like, I know where the Dollar Tree is. So I head down and go to the Dollar Tree, and I'm like, is this the fucking place? It looks like it from Google Maps. Now, the story behind that is I Googled it from my office computer. So I did not make any notes down of the name of the place. I know, I fucked up. I got the time and how much they charge for a haircut. I walk in, and then as soon as I walk in, I'm like, ooh, this is the wrong fucking place. This is like a salon, straight up. And I believe it was a barber shop proper that I had made the appointment for. So anyways, a lady has me sit down, and she's like, we'll be right with you. I'm like, okay, cool, no problem. I explained to her that I had made an appointment. She's like, yeah. And I'm like, but I think I have the wrong place. Don't worry. What's your name? Joe. Cool. So she's like, have a seat. So I sit down on one of the salon chairs. I'm like, yeah, this is not the fucking place. I'm like, I fucked up. So she finally hits me up. Are you Judy? And I'm like, oh, I don't think I'm a Judy, but no, I'm Joe. I normally put Joe down for anything just because I don't know you, and that's how I make my appointments or anything. It depends on what it is, unless I give you Josias, which I probably should have fucking given Josias. Anyways, so she says, I only have one appointment here, and it's for a Judy. I told her, no worries, dude, my apologies. I was pretty sure I was in the wrong place anyways. So from there, I go to my car, have a seat, and I Google another place on my phone now. So now, after dropping the ball this time, first spot was a bus. I would go to a salon that I was not supposed to be at. I end up finding a new place, Googling on my phone now, and go to this new place. It's called Twin Peaks Barbershop. So, look, this is an interesting story. I love you guys, and I know people are normally dicks when they say they aren't racist. But I'm not a racist at all. And I laugh about it. Roll with me here, guys. Roll with me. So as soon as I walk into the place, it's fucking huge. Like, it's a huge, I don't want to say facility, but it's a giant, I don't want to say warehouse either, because the next few things I'm going to say is going to make it sound extra, extra terrible. It's a giant barber shop, is what I'm going to say. So I walk into this place, fucking huge, men and women, and so many fucking chairs. Like, now I have, it's question time, guys. This is not question of the week, but it's just a question. When you go to a barber shop, so for men, or for women, when you go into a salon, a hair salon place, how big is the place usually? And how many seats / stations do they normally have? So now for me, for men, for barbershops, I'll say 5 to 7 seats tops. And 7 is kind of a lot for a barbershop. So I'm very curious, number one, about how you guys feel about this. And I'll give you guys more context to this story right now. I walk into this place, like I said, fucking huge, and it has to have at least 25 barber shop seats, at least stations, you know, to get your haircut. And I believe now, like, this is the place that I had originally set my appointment for. And it was next to a Dollar Tree as well. So completely threw me off. So anyways, as soon as I walk in, there's a sign-in sheet. So I sign in right away, and one of the ladies hits me up fucking quick. She's like, "That guy, he's ready to help you." I'm like, "Okay, so you know I'm Joe?" Like she, so I go to dude. Homeboy guy, dude. Whoa, he's fucking interesting. Like, again, not racist at all. Every barber there, 25 people, were Asian. And the dude I got was a little bit flamboyant. And when I say a little bit flamboyant, I mean extremely flamboyant. So I have a seat in, and he asked me, "Okay, what would you like?" I'm like, "Okay, zero guard from the bottom of my mirror, my beard, my ear all the way up, and zero guard there, and then a 2 up on top, if you can do that." I'm like, "And please just don't touch the beard. I normally like working on my beard myself." Anyways, he's like, "Okay, got you." Now, this is where things got very, very interesting. I have a seat and give homeboy these directions, and I am going to start this story by saying, first of all, I have never felt more used, abused, violated, and mistreated, and just taken advantage of sitting in a barber shop seat in my life before, and I'm going to explain what happens. So dude starts working on my hair. So he starts up on top with the 2. So I'm like, "Okay, dope." Everyone has their different ways of starting the haircut. Look, I'm not a barber. So I can cut hair, but I'm not a barber. I'm not certified, you know. So homeboy, you're a master of your fucking craft. You rock it, homie. You do you. And so he does that. And when he starts using the zero guard on me, homeboy was manhandling me, dude. Like he's moving and bobbing my head around, and violently, and he's spinning my chair like I'm just something that get taken advantage of, and he's just again bobbing my head and like zoom zoom, and I'm like, "What the fuck is he doing to me?" I don't know what the fuck's happening to me. He could be fucking me up for all I know, and then he starts working on the back of my neck, which normally doesn't happen until the end of the process of a haircut. And homeboy just pops off my blouse and just starts working on the back of my neck. And I'm like, whoa, guy, like, buy me a beer first before you just pop off my blouse like that, bro. And he literally, like, again, you know, the sleeve they put on you guys, my blouse. And he pops it back on and starts working on my hair again. And grabs another clipper, I guess, and pops his hand on my fucking head and just starts bobbing my head again and getting in there. And I'm like, "What the fuck is he doing to me?" Not looking at the mirror, don't know what my hair looks like at all. And then as this is going on, like, I don't know if he was expecting some sort of resistance, and I'll go there shortly. But he pops my blouse open again, zoom, gets me again. I'm like, "What the fuck is going on here?" Pops my blouse back on, and this is where he and maybe again, I don't know if I was not being, maybe I was being too too submissive with dude. He starts chanting something, and I don't want to say chanting, but I'm going to say he was singing something. He's kept repeating something out loud in, I want to say Chinese. I don't think they were Japanese. And, he starts serenading me, and I'm like, look, guy, and I'm thinking this to myself, like, look, guy, I know when I'm pissed, and when I say fuck, and I'm like, fuck, I'm like, it kind of sounds like that, bro. And the lady barber shop lady, also a barber, yeah, she looks at me and gives me like the side eye, like, what the fuck, and I give her the oh, like, oh, what the fuck's going on here? Look. And she looks at dude, and she starts laughing her ass off. And I'm like, what the fuck is going on here? So anyways, dude finishes up my hair, and he puts a mirror to the back of my head so I can see it, and I finally see what he did. And I'm like, you know what, dude? Good job, man. How much do I owe you? 18. All right, cool. Here's a $7 tip. Thank you. And I was on my merry way. I'm going to take some pictures this weekend, and you guys can see how good my hair came out. Now, after this fucking story I just told you guys, would I go back to fucking dude ever again? After being abused and used and manhandled and treated the way and violated the way I was, I think I would go back to dude. I like the haircut, like, weird, but again, I've never experienced that type of haircut before, like, so vigorous, and just, again, I felt so used and abused, and I still fucking tipped him good. Anyways, so that's what I did Friday for my WonderCon day. After that was movie days Saturday, and yeah, I got to relax a little bit and enjoy my weekend. Easter was Sunday yesterday. I did not get to record because of those things the weekend, and great family time. And by the time you guys hear this, I'm recording this Monday night at midnight for the most part. So going into Tuesday, and I'm going to Las Vegas on a vacation finally from Wednesday through Saturday. So by the time you guys listen to this, I will probably still be in Vegas. But yeah, so I wanted to find some time to record for you guys, have something for you guys to listen to throughout the week or for the week. And I didn't want to leave you guys hanging. So barbershop fucking stories. What do you guys think about that? How do you guys feel about that? And do you feel like I got violated, or am I being a pussy and saying all these things? All right, guys, please find my boys, the Comics and Tortillas podcast, Adam Garza, Hector Cornejo, and Ben Davis. Very cool cats. And yeah, please find them if you want more comic talk, more comic centric than what I go into. I'm just reviews and pop culture bullshit and very candid conversation piece. All right, guys, give me a few, and before I continue. Question of the week. All right, these are always based on something I've read throughout the week, and this particular question of the week is kind of weird, kind of random, and I was working with Alex tonight, and I love it because he kind of has the first-person perspective, and he gets to ask me questions. He's like, so what's the next show going to be about? And I'm like, totally forgot about the haircut story, but I thought it would be better on the show, so I'm glad I didn't tell him. But I'm like, I have question of the week already. And it's a numbers question, guy. That's along the line of 7. Off of something I read this week, I'm going to hit the 7 deadly sins. You don't have to be religious at all to think about this question or even answer it. But out of all the 7 deadly sins of the Bible, and if you guys look at it out of context, like, even if you're not religious, even if you don't follow the Bible at all, which is fine, because I've lost my faith, it seems, throughout the years, especially long story with my pops. But which of the 7 deadly sins are you most prone of committing or being most susceptible to? Sorry about that, guys. Greed, pride, wrath, lust, envy, gluttony, or sloth. I know, very weird. It's going to make sense. And I always want these to be reflective for me, definitely self-reflective for myself, even more than that, where I can recognize, like, okay, that is something I do. That's definitely not something I do. And it helps me look at myself in a different way too, but again, able to recognize some bad qualities that I know I have. And I'm not going to say I don't have bad qualities, because I can be a dick. But anyways, when we get to that, you guys will definitely, it'll make more sense. All right, give me a few. I'll be right back with some comic talk.
Hey, this is Scott Snyder. I'm writing All-Star Batman this year, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
I'm Mitch Gerrans, the artist and Sheriff of Babylon.
I'm Tom King, the writer of Sheriff of Babylon, and you're listening to the Comic Syndicate.
This is Kevin Conroy, the voice of Batman, and you're listening to the Comics Syndicate.
Hi, my name is Brian Bucciolato, and I listen to Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Chris Michello. We're hanging out here at Frank and Sons, and we're having a good time on a Sunday or Saturday afternoon. And you're listening to me live on Comic Syndicate.
Hi, this is Brian Michael Bendis, and you are listening to the Comic Syndicate.
Comic Talk.
All right, guys, welcome to some comic talk. I know I went off on a tangent there, but the thing about me is a lot of fucking weird shit always fucking happens to me where it's like, I gotta fucking share this fucking story. Let me know what you guys think. Have you guys, again, number one, when you guys go to a barbershop or a salon, what, how many fucking seats, dude? It was like a fucking sweatshop for a barbershop, which is weird because I've never experienced anything like that. Anyways, it was interesting, and I thought I would share it. We got some comic news this week, exact costumes and everything. Godzilla X Kong director teases faithful Thundercats reboot. I'm a child of the 80s, so I grew up with Silverhawks, Thunderhawks, the original Transformers Generation 1, even GoBots to a weird extent, He-Man, all that stuff. So, very curious about this. It's going to be a live-action movie, and he wants to use original costumes, which, you know, I'm down for. Hopefully it's done well, but yeah, very curious about that. Next one's going to be Marvel announces new player-versus-player shooter game with superhero-packed trailer. So Marvel Rivals is the name of the game. It looks really cool. I literally looked up the trailer yesterday, and it just looks fucking cool, and it looks fun. I'm not normally a shooter guy anymore as a gamer. And again, I explained this a while back. I'm like a casual gamer now. I passed Prince of Persia, The Lost Crown recently. It was a hard fucking game. I died a lot in Metroid Dread. That game was scary as shit to fucking play. And I died a lot in that one. I think this game, Prince of Persia, I've had the most deaths in a game ever. So yeah, it was interesting. It was fun. I enjoyed it. It was very cool. I said a few more things. Marvel Studios greenlights X-Men 97 for season 3. I'm really enjoying that one. These ones came out in 97, so my junior year. Sophomore going into junior year. Really enjoyed the fuck out of those cartoons, so it has the same vibe to it. I'm very curious about the next ones. I think it's 3 episodes, and they drop every Tuesday or Wednesday. But again, I'm very much enjoying it. And how are you guys feeling about it, dude? Episode 2 is probably my favorite. But yeah, if you guys dig, cool. If you don't, let me know. I'm very curious. Hit me up. Next one's going to be weird and interesting. I saw this movie last week, and it's the Roadhouse remake shocks Prime Video with record-breaking viewership. Now, I loved and grew up, again, child of the 80s, and I was a Patrick Swayze fan? Question mark. Roadhouse for sure. Roadhouse. And Ghost. I love fucking Ghost, dude. Dirty Dancing he was in, and I was kind of forced to watch that. It's a really fucking gnarly fucking movie now looking back at it. But anyways, this one, in my opinion, it hit all the fucking vibes from the original one. It was good. It wasn't bad. It wasn't terrible. The action scenes I really enjoyed. Jake Gyllenhaal in this movie was such a fucking sweetheart. And I'm like, I fucking love this fucking dude. I really enjoyed it, so I'm glad to hear it's doing so well. But I thought I would toss that one out. Have you guys seen it? Number one. And yes, Conor McGregor is in it. But I still enjoyed it, dude. And I'm an MMA fan. So yeah, I really enjoyed it. And if you guys hated it, please let me know. Should I hit some comic reviews? Let's do it real quick. Yeah, you know what? Fuck it. Let's hit some comic reviews. That's all I got real quick. I haven't jumped on CBR in a while, so comic book resources is normally where I pull my news from. And I thought I would go over some quick headlines, but as opposed to scrolling through the whole fucking thing till I finally come across something that I think you guys would enjoy. You guys can always hit up comic book resources. It's a great fucking site for movies, TV, comic, gaming, streaming, everything. So it's a fun one to go to. Bleeding Cool is another cool one I like to use as well. I just wanted to let you guys know where I normally get my news from. All right, comic reviews. Let's start off with... Oh, that's not comic reviews at all. Okay, here we go. Sorry about that, guys. Let me scroll down. Okay, so I was on a Marvel kick, and this particular title is a character I fucking love. Like, I love grounded heroes, and this one is Marvel Comics. Ooh. You know what? Yeah, I'm sorry. This is the first one I read. Incredible Hulk number 9. Philip Kennedy Johnson is the writer. Danny Eris is the guest artist. Matthew Wilson was the color artist. VC's Corey Pettit is the letterer. And this arc has been a being called the Eldest has sent monsters from all over the world to hunt the Hulk down, to use his powers to awaken an entity called the Mother of Horrors. So now even using his wife, Betty Ross, to convince Bruce to hand over the Hulk and just give up his powers. Like, and that's the story. All the while he's had this teenage runaway girl by his side that he came across. And, little girl has been falsely accused of killing her father. So now they're on the run, quote unquote. Starts off in New Orleans as a cop is investigating some crime scenes. Talking about missing limbs. Then we get some scenes of a couple walking out late at night, early in the morning streets, as they come across an old lady cleaning outside an antique shop. And this is where they get a change in the old lady. And the girlfriend of the couple walking by is just a bitch, like... Don't talk to her. And, like, looking at her like she's beneath me type of thing. So, dude's girlfriend kind of deserved to die for her being such a dick. Sorry, but, hey, dude, you were a fucking bitch. The visuals are just pretty cool to see. Very much a horror vibe that the Hulk has been going through even prior to this title run. It's been very horror vibe-ish, which I'm really enjoying the way they've been writing the Hulk. And it's a different writer than the previous run, and even Donny Cates did a run, which I really enjoyed because it goes into the more mental fight between Bruce and Hulk and how much they really hate each other and they really want to get rid of the other, which is an interesting dynamic. So that was issue number 9. I read Incredible Hulk number 10. Same team working on this one as well. Issue number 10 starts off with the Hulk now jumping throughout New Orleans and looking for his friend, this young girl, runaway child. Her name is Charlie, and he's looking for her. Now, the interesting story about their relationship or friendship is odd and very cool because she loves the Hulk. Like, she loves the Hulk, and that's her favorite hero. Because he's unstoppable, and the way she feels about herself personally, it's like, that's the most strongest motherfucker. I want to be strong like him. And every time the Hulk is the Hulk talks to her like, don't listen to stupid Banner. He's putting things in your head. He's going to get rid of you. He wants to get rid of you. So every time Banner's around, he's like, dude, I need to keep you safe, little girl. And every time I Hulk out, like, I feel like I'm going to accidentally smash or kill you as I'm fighting someone. So, again, the dynamic is very cool. And the way she interacts with both of them, like, she loves the Hulk, but every time he's Banner, he's trying to look out for her. And she will even tell him, like, the Hulk says you're trying to get rid of me. So she's not playing both sides, but she's also kind of getting the personality behind Banner when he's not the Hulk. But she's also seeing the personality behind the Hulk, which is rampage and destroy all the time. Which, again, I like this storytelling. So anyways, due to the prior issue, little girl, Charlie has been kidnapped now. This old lady came across and wanted to help Charlie, takes her into her shop as a cop is looking for her, and there are signs all over the place, like Bruce Banner and this little girl are missing, if you guys have seen them. So one of the sheriffs of the town walking the city happens to see the girl. She tries to get away. Charlie walks into the antique shop. This is issue number 9. So this one now, we don't know what happened to the girl, but we see the Hulk now rampaging through the fucking city. So he finally comes across the detective from issue number 9, prior issue. And the cop, sheriff, detective has been on a murder spree, this murder spree case, for a lot longer than he was aware of. As Hulk is the one to tell him, you're dead. So again, very horror, and the Hulk, the way he can see monsters now, and even the dead now, it is cool. And we get some good context out of these panels as they almost get warped by something or someone now with the investigator, like retelling the Hulk about all the crimes he's investigated and how dark this particular crime investigation has gotten, and what this person that's killing these and has been killing these people has been up to, like taking limbs and what he's doing to the victims' bodies. And I'm not going to go more into that, but again, for all the horror vibes that I've been getting out of this, and I still dig this particular artist for this particular reason, and it's not the best art, but the way he draws Banner hulking out, like his limbs turning huge little by little, and his joints popping and contorting, and the way we don't normally see the Hulk contort. Like, we see him hulk out, but it's way violent. It's more violent than what we've seen. Again, the joints popping, and it's nuts to see. And again, very horror movie vibes, and I fucking dig on it. So if you guys get a chance, check it out if you guys are horror fans. All right, and last bit of comics to round out the show is going to be the one where the question of the week stemmed from, and I'm going to give you guys some context, a little bit of storytelling, a little bit of narrative from it as well, like I normally do. Marvel Comics, Daredevil number 5 through number 7. Again, when I said grounded characters, I love the fuck out of Daredevil. Loved all. The thing about Daredevil is like Batman, and in comics, there has always been a stud team on Daredevil and or Batman, and stud writers, killer fucking artists, and there's a long lineage of great teams that have done it. So every time somebody takes, especially a new writer takes over Daredevil or Batman, everyone's always like, I don't know about this fucking dude. And this one had me thinking the same thing for the most part, and I'm like, I love Daredevil, but what, like the first one, I don't know how I like where the story's going. But since I love Daredevil, I had to jump in. So number 5 through number 7, Saladin Ahmed is the writer, Fareed Karami is the artist, Jesus Abuchov is the colorist, VC's Clayton Cowles is the letterer. So this one, a hit was put on Wilson Fisk's son, Butch Ferris, by a gang called the Heat. So while he's trying to deal with while he's trying to deal with his life after everything that's happened, Daredevil, he's realized that all his friends are mentally and emotionally being turned by demons. So issue number 5 was She-Hulk is one of the first ones he meets and comes across an old friend. And it's fucking cool. Like, the art is good. It's really good. The storytelling is good. But because Matt Murdock, Daredevil has been, and I'll say Matt Murdock, was born a Catholic. And one of the big storytelling devices that every writer has tossed out is his faith. And Matt Murdock struggling with his own faith sometimes, like, and going to confession, like, I did a bad thing. I hurt a lot of guys. Did you kill anyone? No. And, like, the fathers normally know, like, okay, we know who you are, but not in that way, but kind of. I always loved it. So now, it was very cool to see She-Hulk and the way she's mentally turned and even emotionally, but mentally turned. And we go through and see the demons that are possessing each of Daredevil's friends. And hers, and that one happened to be Gluttony. And the story is fucking funny. So number six starts off now. So that was five. Doctor Strange arrives to tell Matt whom and why they are after him. And he shows him the person that brought on these demons coming out in the first place. And it happens to be Matt Murdock. So the prior run was not Jeff Lemire, I'm sorry. The writer was Chip Zdarsky. Yeah, Chip Zdarsky is a great fucking writer, and I love his writing anyways. And even his art's fucking really good. Weird, but good, oddly good. And he's, yeah, anyways, I'll go into his story and tangent some other time about him. But anyways, I like his writing. And the way he wrote Daredevil prior was Punisher also got possessed and was blinded by rage and the power of the hand and gained some new abilities. And Frank Castle went off the reserve and wanted to take out everyone because he was able to see his wife and his kids that has died, that his whole mission has been a part of. Anyways, Daredevil now, or at the time, went through kind of the same thing where it's like, you're my boy, I have to fucking take you down. So he did some shit that even the Avengers went up to fucking Daredevil and they're like, dude, you're going too far. Like, we understand the vigilante life, but like, no, motherfucker, you're doing some really shady shit. And Daredevil's like, fuck it, stop me if you can, but I need to stop that motherfuckers. I'm going to do the things you guys don't have the balls to do right now. So very cool to see that turn in Daredevil. And the events of that, Daredevil gave up his life and to save his friends and even Frank Castle. Anyways, went through a sort of purgatory. And again, the storytelling devices about Matt Murdock and Daredevil and the faith thing. I always enjoyed. Even though I'm not a Catholic, never have been a Catholic, and I don't agree personally, with Catholicism. That's just my opinion. So if anyone's Catholic, don't mean to fucking shit all over your fucking thing. If it makes you feel better, I'm a Christian, always was a Christian. And again, the things that I've been dealing with emotionally since my dad passed, even struggling with my own, not mortality at all, but even the faith aspect of it was very interesting. So anyways, I just wanted to give you guys some context on that. So this story was really great, and the way it's drawn is cool, and his best friends now are getting turned, because now since he came back, quote-unquote, from the dead, a demon came out with him, and now it's seducing and going after his friends to use against Matt Murdock. And Doctor Strange shows him these visions like, it's you, motherfucker, it's your fault. You shouldn't have came back, because now these demons came out. And this is very cool to have this conversation between Doctor Strange and Daredevil. Is very cool, because he's like, Doctor Strange is like, dude, it's all the demons you have to face, and in a weird way we all have to face in our lives, I guess is what I'm getting to, which is what I really enjoyed about it. And that's where Question of the Week comes from, after I've complete these. So, Daredevil even tells him, like, motherfucker, can't you just use your incantation or spells to get rid of these demons? And he's like, again, Doctor Strange, these are your own personal demons. Like, I can't do anything about it. You're the one that has to deal with it. And so very cool to get that aspect, because when we realize it and when we look at it, we need to all face our demons at one point or another. So, again, anyways, that was great. And the end of this one, after this Doctor Strange shows up, he helps Daredevil get more leveled up than usual. And we see Daredevil now in a white suit, which we saw him the end run when he fought the Punisher. He looks dope all in white, but he's not in his red gear at all. So after giving some more information at the end of that issue, we see Daredevil find a bar where there happens to be a particular patron there that you just really don't want to fuck with. Already busting heads and fucking shit up. The end of issue number six. And it happens to be another one of his friends, Wolverine. So that's how issue number seven starts. And it's literally two friends that have fought together, that have fought against each other many times, and quickly catching up. But then Daredevil realizing that Wolverine has also been possessed. And they start scrapping. And this is Daredevil's inner monologue goes off as the fight's about to go down. When I consider my mortal sins, I know which one I'm most guilty of. None of my other flaws comes close to my wrath. And I don't know if wrath could find a more perfectly earthly vessel than Wolverine. And this is where they start scrapping. And they start scrapping dope and fierce, which is great to see. And very violent and very fucking bloody. And again, Matt Murdock, Daredevil's inner monologue. I've fought Wolverine before. Each time I've been lucky to walk away. The man doesn't hurt the way normal people do. It's like fighting a slab of meat wrapped around a lead pipe as they're both fucking each other up right now. And the diabolical wrath that's possessing him has made him even nastier than usual. I'm in trouble, tired, losing focus. Wolverine, on the other hand, is fired up. It takes everything I've got not to get sliced to ribbons. And I've got to get him somewhere less crowded before anyone else gets hurt. And this fight is fucking just nuts. Dope. Fucking sick to see. As both of these cats just mix it up like this. We see both of them bloodied up. So Daredevil is holding his own. But he's like, fuck, I am fucked up right now. Like, I'm getting taken advantage of. This guy is undoing my blouse. And even to see Daredevil all in white now, we see more of the blood stains and how bloodied up he is, which is great to see. So, the fight continues on. They end up on a fucking truck. I know it's weird, but I mean, the comic makes fucking sense. And they end up on a truck. Wolverine, Daredevil's on Wolverine's back trying to fucking tap him out with his fucking billy clubs. Is it Screamer? And, Wolverine jumps off and they both eat shit, like, as the truck is driving off, and they're just both rolling on the concrete. Very cool. My gut lurches as I realize the truth. I can't win. He's too strong, too tough, too vicious, and he's healing while I'm not. I always knew my wrath would be my undoing. Wolverine says, I know what you're thinking. I can smell it. But you got it all wrong, darling. It ain't your wrath what's got a hold of me. It's your lust. As we see this blooded demon in the panel, the splash page of this looks great and fantastic. And if you guys want to know what a splash page is, please ask me. I know Lynn now knows what a splash page is because, a splash page is in a comic telling story devices. When you turn the page and it's a giant page now, instead of panels, it's one giant page of a picture of what's happening, the encounter. That's normally like not the filler part. It's the where the story gets going, like the climax of the story almost. And you get a reveal of some sort. And sometimes it's just a sick fucking battle. Or someone on their knees crying because they're fucking sad. And you want to put the emphasis on what's going on. As opposed to one page with like 10 panels on it. So I'm sorry, guys. I thought I'd just break that down for you. Because a lot of times people don't know what that is. Anyways, so Wolverine lets him know. No, it's and then this blood demon, this blood lust demon looks fucking dope. This fight continues. And this blood demon is now hovering over Wolverine. And it visually just makes the battle so much more fucking crazy. It's fucking cool. Daredevil again starts thinking to himself in her monologue, lust, of course. Some part of me, a big part of me, lusts for violence. I want to deny it, but even devils sometimes speak the truth. I know how to defeat this shameful desire, this relentless drive to fight until my knuckles bleed. So, that's where the question of the week came from. I'm going to go through one more, and I'm going to hit the seven deadly sins. I mean, literally. Last one I read was a Marvel Comics title, Rise of Powers of X number 3. Karen Gillan's the writer, R.B. Silva's the artist. I love the art. David Curiel is the color artist. VC's Clayton Cowles is the letterer. This one starts off with a young Moira McTaggart, a 13-year-old girl waiting for her and expecting her mutant powers to finally trigger. Because when you mature, that's when your powers normally trigger for mutants. So now she can set her plans in motion. That's what this little girl is relying on, waiting for. She's lived and relived throughout many of her lives, each one learning something new and changing the future and changing events that eventually lead to where the X-Men are now. So she has been a longtime friend of the X-Men, but once we realize she's a mutant now, when Jonathan Hickman took over, Moira McTaggart's not a good guy anymore. She hasn't been a good guy anymore. And now with their backs against the wall and dying and having to fight more than ever to survive, Charles Xavier goes to visit this young girl to have one conversation, final conversation, with his friend as he takes a gun, a blaster with him. The scenes and panels then jump to Doug Ramsey, who's a Cypher Sinister clone. I know it sounds weird because a lot of these won't make sense to you guys. Rasputin number 4 and Rachel Summers now, fighting to give Professor X enough time to talk to more. So it's for how as bad as things have gotten for them to do so, the back of the fourth of the title, them working together. And what we see more right now going through as an adult, and these AI, I'm going to say AI, trying to use her to legit wipe out the mutants. It is nuts. And it jumps back now to Charles and young Moira again now, which are beautifully drawn again, by the way. It's just fucked up, this conversation between the two. Sorry, guys, I had to scratch my fucking face. Kind of the fucked up question, if you knew, and this one was asked to me a long time ago, if you knew your nephew, niece, or child, any young kid was the Antichrist, would you or could you pull the trigger to stop them, and them, essentially, to stop any future bad things from happening? Or even to a lesser degree, but the same context, do you kill baby Hitler to stop the Holocaust from ever happening? Like, do you do that? Can you do that? And that's what's happening here. And it's fucked up. And so very cool to see it. And the way it was written was dope. A lot of heavy dialogue, a lot of context, but that's pretty much what it is. And we see Rachel Summers reach out to Professor X, Charles Xavier, and she's like, dude. And she's talking to him mentally. And we see this expression on Xavier's face where you can see whatever she's telling him. And there's no dialogue about it. You can just, she's like, no, let me remind you why we do what we do. Like, you, it seems like you lost your way. So very cool to see that. And even Professor X's facial expressions, the way they're drawn, is fucking dope. And he starts crying. It was cool to see, like, okay, whatever she told him was deep. So very cool, and it's very fucked up the way that comic ends in particular. So I really enjoyed that. I want to say book of the week. I love X-Men, and I don't know where the fuck it's going, but I'm very curious about that one. So even though I should have put that one out before the last review or prior reviews, all these were book of the week for me, and just to see Daredevil get fucking rocked and destroyed by one of his friends sucked. But the story behind it now was, and the question of the week is, out of the 7 deadly sins, and you don't have to be religious to look at it and be reflective or self-reflective about these things. Greed, pride, wrath, lust, envy, gluttony, and sloth. Now, if we're looking at each other, you know what, let me talk about me, so you guys can just not, and judge me maybe, but for me to look at it, and again, talking to Alex earlier today, I didn't give him what's the topic, and I don't ever think I have topics, like I do, I come with notes and everything, and prepared, like these are the things I'm going to hit, these are bullet points. But when I toss it out to Alex, it's cool. It was cool to have that conversation with him. And honestly, I give him all 7. And he's like, I think out of all of them, I would be guilty of sloth. Now, I'm going to give you some things, some context here real quick. And I know I was hoping, you know what? Fuck it. We're going to go long if we need to. So pride, first of all. Now, I'm a fucking proud motherfucker. I take pride in everything I fucking do. And a lot of people don't appreciate it. Let's just be real. But I'm proud of everything I fucking do because I know what I do. Pride is defined by Merriam-Webster as reasonable self-esteem or confidence and satisfaction in oneself. The more of the biblical aspect and version of it is pride is a sinful attitude of shifting confidence from God to self, often expressed in arrogance, insolence, or presumption. Now, the way I look at that, even though, yes, I am proud of fucking everything I do, and I'm a proud and prideful motherfucker, I'm I'm aware of what I'm able to do now. So would that be my biggest sin? No, not at all, because I'm self-aware and I know my self-worth and what I bring to the fucking table. So am I proud? Yes. But would that be, especially the biblical term, like arrogance in everything that I do? No. Number two, wrath. Now, not gonna lie, don't fuck with me. Like, just don't fuck with me. Like, I will burn you to the fucking ground verbally. And if you ever want to scrap, you better fucking hope you have a fucking healing factor too, because I'm gonna fuck your shit up. Although I don't fight anymore. I mean, let's be real. Like, I haven't gotten in a fight in the longest time, and there are certain things that need to be said to certain people. But wrath is also Merriam's dictionary, strong, vengeful, hatred, or resentment. The warnings of wrath in Christianity arise from the consequences of vengeance in human relations. We can be consumed by rage and revenge to the point of acting irrationally and immorally. No. Maybe a long time ago, yes. But right now, no. Current Josias, negative. So pride, wrath so far, no. Was I before? Wrath, probably more than pride still. Envy, a feeling of discontented or resentful longing aroused by someone else's possessions, qualities, or luck. Negative. I encourage everyone to do the best they can. And if someone comes up, my friends, my family come up, I encourage the fuck out of it. I'm so fucking happy for them. Negative. Next one's going to be gluttony. Means overindulgence or overconsumption of food or drink. When I was younger, probably a glutton for food, because I was a little fat fucker. Like my whole life, I'm not going to lie, I was a fat, chubby fucking kid. Now I think gluttony would probably be it. Like, I do drink. I'm drinking. Well, I have a beer right here with me right now. It's midnight as I'm recording this. It's going to be 1 soon, and I still have editing to do that I'm probably going to get taken care of it tomorrow. I'm a fucking glutton for fucking, for misery. No, I'm a glutton for punishment. Like, I work 2 fucking jobs. I don't get enough fucking sleep 99% of the time. I'm a glutton for punishment, for sure. I do like to indulge in drinks. And I know that sounds terrible, but number one, not as heavily as I ever drank when Josias was in that dark fucking place. I'm not liquored up all the time. Like, before I would go, God, when, okay, yeah, before I would go to a party and get hammered and still go to work at 3 o'clock in the morning after literally the party, go to work at 3 a.m. and work and being a functional fucking drunk, which I know sounds terrible, but again, being reflective and self-reflective, like, I don't do that anymore. Like, I don't. Like, 1 beer, 2 beers to fucking enjoy and, like, nightcap, I don't think is a bad thing. But if I'm being self-reflective, bad. I'm not hurting anyone. I'm recording no one. I'm not hurting anyone. Minus my liver, maybe. But again, it's not like I'm drinking fucking liquor and it's only 1 fucking beer. Honestly. And then sloth. I know I've never been this one. Like, it's a slow-moving tropical American mammal that hangs upside down from the branches of trees. I had to bring some levity, guys. The reluctance to work or make an effort. Laziness. The sloth has never been me at all. Like, I do enjoy, I want to call it a lazy day, but there normally aren't lazy days for me on my days off, because I'm always up to something and working on something and cleaning up the house. So I wish I could be a sloth. I wish I could fucking give in to that one. But negative. Oddly enough, not pride, not wrath for me. Never envious. And I'm not greedy. Like, I'm not a greedy motherfucker. Like, I wouldn't be working 2 jobs and doing what I do if I was fucking greedy. It would have to be gluttony for me, oddly enough, out of looking at all those. These ones are always interesting because, again, self-reflective, and hopefully you guys can do the same things to yourself and actually look at it like, fuck, okay, I'm guilty of that one. Hopefully you guys enjoyed the show. I'm going to be in Vegas by the time you guys hear the show. Please feel free to reach out to me when you guys hear it. I'm still going to check my messages and everything. So everyone that has sent out love, please continue to share the show, share the podcast. If you guys like the show, please let me know. If you guys didn't like it, if I went too religious on this talk, I didn't even go fucking bad religious talk, I don't think. But yeah, let me know what you guys think. I will catch you guys next week, hopefully with a brand new show. When I come back from Vegas, WrestleMania 40's on. I don't know if I'm going to have time to fucking work. But I will bring you guys content. I will catch you guys next week. Peace out.